Okay, we're on page Reis Tzadik Dalad, Eshbach Lefanav Sichi, Reis Ayin Dalad in the other edition. So it's either Tzadik Dalad or Ayin Dalad, where it says, Ma'i say Noisef Irem Reb Aaron Rabashal Ha'ir Basti. We're talking about Emes, Emes Lamito, being honest in his body. This is being honest all the time, but how being open and honest with the Kadosh Baruch Hu during this bodhus and asking Hashem all the time for Hareini Hashem Darkecha Ahalech Ba'amitecha, your truth, Ba'amitecha. Not what it seems to be, what I would like it to be, but Ahalech Ba'amitecha. That's what we're talking about. So Maise nice if Irem Rabbi Aaron Rabashal here at Breslov. There's a Maise with the Rav of Breslov at the time of Rabbi Nachman was a huge Talmud Chacham Tzadik, Rabbi Aaron from Breslov. And there's a ma'aser with him with Rabbeinu Hiflig Ma'od B'Shvachah Shel Rabbi Aaron. Rabbi Nachman held very, very strong from this tzaddik, from Rabbi Aaron. Kedushosa Hanizgava, Kach HaTorah Psak Haloch Bir Amadama Shlo B'Chol Midah Nachayin. Rabbi Nachman was very, very effusive in his praise and his love for the Rav of Breslov. Refrayis Yemei Rosh Hashanah Tov Kafayin Aleph Lachashu Rabbeinu Ozav Asir Breslov. That Rosh Hashanah already was after Rabbi Nachman left Breslov. And he gave Rabbi Aaron the Rabbi Vishalo so Heichanov Lishai Rosh Hashanah. So the Rav of Breslov had this question, where should I be for Rosh Hashanah? Now, the obvious place for every Rav to be is in his own city, unless you're a Breslov Chassid. So he didn't know where to go. He came to Anshehi or Breslov Armu. So the chassidim in Breslov were saying that the Rebbe is not here anymore, so we have to go to the Rebbe. And the Rav of Breslov, Rav Aaron, was also a chassid of the Rebbe Nachman. So there were those who said from the Anshei here. There were two types. There were the chassidim from the Anshei here that were going, and then there were the Jews of Breslov. Breslov is not a little village, it's a town, and there were the Jews of Breslov, and they had a time to Rabbi Aaron that what? That if you go with the chassidim, then we have no rav, then we have nobody here with, nobody's taking care of us. So this was a dilemma. Shol Rabbi Aaron is a Rabbi Ha'im Heim Tzodkim. So Rabbi Aaron asked Rabbi Nachman, he went to ask Rabbi Nachman, what should I do? What's my responsibility? Should I go with you, Rabbi? Benachman Rosh Hashanah wasn't just after he passed away, it's when he was alive too. Or should I stay with the Jews of the town? Should I stay with them? Omlahai Rabbi, Kain. So Benachman said to them, yes, Heim Tzok. The people of Breslov are right. Meaning you're their rav. And it's Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah. They have to stay with them. But then after Rabbi Nachman said, and of course, they're right, and you should stay with them, but you can't imagine the tsar I'm going to have of you not being with them. It sounds more like a mother, you know, a mother-in-law situation. Rabbi Nachman understood that it was a very chashuv of a thing for the tzaddik Rabbi Aaron to be with him. And how much that would mean, it wasn't about Rabbi Nachman enjoying that, it was about the toelus of them being together. It's going to be tremendous tzar, Rabbi Nachman said, if you're not going to be with me, Rosh Hashanah. So remember last week's dilemma with Rabbi Nosson, right? So here's another story with Rabbi Aaron. I'm Rabbi Aaron, Im Cain. So Rabbi Aaron said, I bazai, Eshoy can be Rosh Hashanah. Then Rabbi, I'll stay here with you. I'll stay with you here. That was in the Newman at that point. I'll stay with you. Rosh Hashanah. I won't stay in Breslov. It's going to cause you pain. I'll stay with you. Rabbi Nachman said, but the people of Breslov are right. You're their Rav. So Amul Rabbi Aaron, Im Kain, Eshoy Yimayim. So then I'll stay with him. and I'll stay with the people. So Rabbi Vamalai, and Rabbi Nachman said to him again, you can't imagine the tzar that I'm going to have if you're not with me. This is a horrible story, right? You can't imagine how much tzar I'm going to have if you're not with me. This repeated itself a couple of times. Maybe Aaron shoved the basin. Maybe Aaron did the responsible thing, which Rabbi Nachman himself said that he should do, and he went back to Breslin. Rosh Hashanah. He stayed with the people, with the city. In Chai Maran, the story is very short. And there it adds on that Rabbi Nachman chased him away and said, go back to Breslin. So Rabbi Nachman is saying, oh, this is hurting me so much, but he threw him out. Go back home. Bedarko Chazar, on the way back to Breslov, Ogshu Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Naftali. So he met Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Naftali. The two of them were the closest Talmidim of Rabbi Nachman, the closest Chassidim. So Rabbi Aaron, the Rav, met the two tzaddikim, Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Naftali. And they didn't understand, like, you're going the wrong way. It's already up to Rosh Hashanah. Why are you going back to Breslov? You should be going to Uman. Why are you going back to Breslov? So Sochlem Rabbi Aaron is called nice. So Rabbi Aaron told him about the whole thing that happened with Rabbi Nachman. And Rabbi Nachman threw him out, told him to go home. Omrulai, Anachnu, Yam im Rabbi Chibasan and Marisei. The two of them said, us, even if Rabbi Nachman would have taken a piece of wood and would start chasing us and hitting us, Loha Yino Ezema, we never would have left him. Baron's having a day, as he could be. Never would have left him. We'd have stayed, Rabbi Nachman. And then to make matters worse, so Rabbi Aaron went to Breslov. And La'achem Ikein, he'd be a Rabbi Netzara, La'chesuenish Rabbi Aaron. Rabbi Nachman was talking about how terrible it was that Rabbi Aaron didn't come for Rosh Hashanah. To make up all of this. We know that everybody knows that Rabbi Nachman spoke a lot about the significance of being with him, Rosh Hashanah. That all the Chassidim have to be with him, Rosh Hashanah, whether while he's alive and after. That all the Chassidim should be with him, Rosh Hashanah. That was the day of the year. Those 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that everybody has to be with him. And throughout the years, people went while he was alive with great Mesiris Nefesh, and then after he died, so there's a day with tremendous Mesiris Nefesh to be Rosh Hashanah with Rabbi Nachman. And Lahavda Elv Hafe Abdullah said, every year I have my best of our friends always telling me, how come you're not coming to Uman for Rosh Hashanah? And when I say something like, well, I have to be in Shul, Marav, they like look at me like, what's the matter with you? What kind of thing is that? So I'm having, this story repeated many years later, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that goes through this. And then I'll say something like, well, I hope soon, at some point, we'll be able to go to the whole Chevra, and I'll go, and I'll be there. I always wanted to be Rosh Hashanah. I mean, I've been to him a number of times, but to be Rosh Hashanah. And then they just look at me like utter disgust that, this is just not, you're not really on board with any of us. Because they're, this is, again, this has repeated itself many times, I'm sure, in history to this day. So the question is, Rabbi Aaron, how you tell me don't move up? This Rabbi Aaron wasn't Stam a Rav someplace in Lubmia. This Rabbi Aaron was a big chassid. Was Mamash, Kusha, Levi Benefesh. He was attached to Rabbi Nachman. Him came Madula, Harlo, Leisharet, stuff. And Rabbi Nachman himself said that it's terrible that he's leaving. So why didn't Rabbi Nachman say this name? To come with me? One of the things about Rabbi Nachman that he was very makbid in a number of stories like this is not to take away a person's bechira. He treated his chevra like adults, and he didn't want to take away from them their bechira. He would advise, but he would work with people according to where they were holding and give them their bechira. But But Rabbi Aaron was asking very sincerely, Rabbi, what should I do? So what was wrong with the question, what he was asking for? On page 8, so this is the difference. Rabbi Nachman was able to tell that because of his position as a Rav, forget about the question right now of Rabbi Aaron's responsibility to the people of Breslov, whatever that was. But Rabbi Nachman was able to tell that perhaps due to Rabbi Aaron's sense of responsibility, his Bechira really was inclined, his choice was really, because of his position, was to stay in Breslov, not to go to Rabbi Nachman. That's really what he felt. And therefore, to Rabbi Aaron, it wasn't a hechrich. It wasn't something that he felt he absolutely had to do to go to Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Naphtali. Rabbi Nosson, Naphtali was not even a shayla. They felt muchrachim, absolutely, there's no choice in their lives. They didn't feel a bechira at all. Bechira at all. They don't have a responsibility to be in Breslov. And they felt the hechrich, and therefore they spoke in such a way that we would never ever possibly leave. Rabbi Nachman saw that Rabbi Aaron wasn't in that place of hechrich, wasn't muchrich. Therefore, we asked the question that Rabbi Nosson asked last week, that if Rabbi Aaron would have said be'emes, remember last week? So Rabbi Nosson asked about taking the position to be a Rav, be'emes, and Rabbi Nachman said be'emes, you should take the position. And be'emes, be'emes la'amita, and Rabbi Nachman said no, not be'emes la'amita. So what would have been the Be'emes La'amita over here if Rabbi Aaron would have asked? But the difference is that Rabbi Aaron didn't ask that. Rabbi Aaron asked, what should I do? Rabbi Nachman said, go home. It's going to hurt me, but go home. And according to the Chaim Aran, it says he threw him out. He said, get going. And that was it. Because Rabbi Nachman understood that for Rabbi Aaron, the Be'emes La'amita of where he was and what he had to do was to be with the Jews in his town, even though Rabbi Nachman was honest and said, it hurts me because of the mitzvah. But he saw that Rabbi Aaron was not in the place of that. That's, you know, mukhrich. It's, I have to stay with you, Rabbi. I have to. And then what happened, what took place then was, like the Gemara says, b'derech sh'adam raisei leilech, olichim osa. The way that a person wants to go, molichin osa. That's what happened. B'derek shol demerzel elach, molichin osa. V'ashir dibar. One of the most touching stories, I shared this around a year or two ago, and maybe you've seen this, was that there were these two Chabad Hasidim. I don't remember their names, but they were in Russia during the entire time of the communism. All the years, it was terrible. And they were in jail and back and forth and who knows where, what they went through. And they kept on spreading chassidus and whatever, with Messias Nefesh. Finally, after the whole mice that happened there in the Soviet Union, they came to America. And these chassidim, like a time machine, dressed, everything the same, like they were there. And they came to see the Rebbe. They went to Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the Rebbe told them, it was very nice, the Rebbe told them, I want you to go to give shalom to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Go to see Rav Moshe. And these chassidim went to, they went, these two Lubavitchers went to Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe was talking to them about what they went through. And Rav Moshe was very emotional. And he asked them, and Rav Moshe said, I was also by the communists. I saw what they were doing. And he said, you had a chelia, you kept the mikveh, yeah? And you put on tilnet, yeah, and Shabbos, yeah. So if Moshe asked them, he asked these Lubavitchers, how did you do that? So that one of the fellows said, one of these tzaddikim said, my brother, just like that. He said, was there a choice? Was there a choice? And it says, well, I read this in the Sefer, that Moshe couldn't stop talking about that. After he started crying and they left, and he was telling everybody what they spoke to these Hasidim, and the way that they, it was, their Mesiris Nefesh wasn't like that they felt it was a Mesiris Nefesh, because felt there's no choice. There's no choice. From Shabbos, teaching Torah, underground, whatever they were doing. And they said in such pshitas that Ramesh was very taken by it, that level of Mesiris Nefesh of these two guys. So Rabbi Nachman saw that Rabbi Aaron was not a muchlach in that place of who he was to be there with him. So he sent him home. It's a complicated story, but the you see that there are certain tzaddikim that they are this way, the way that Hashem is. That when they see that a person is b'darach shalom rachit leilach, malich naisai. That the way that a person wants very much to go, malich naisai. You could ask a kasha, but it's a question. Malich naisai. Maybe, but wouldn't it have been better for him to stay with Rabbi Nachman? That wasn't his truth at that time in his life. If we have to daven a lot, that a lot of times we're convinced that the way that we want to go is the true, is what's true for us, what's best for us. We have to daven that we ask Hashem to show us. In other words, I'm not sure why he told this story, but I think the reason I'm not sure, you also, I think he was telling the story to say that maybe, I mean, it's, I don't know what you think, but to say that Rabbi Aaron, on his madrig, even though it was at Tzaddik, that he did opt for something that was his emes, but wasn't necessarily emes lamita. I don't know. I'm not quite sure. Any opinions about this? Fine, what do you think?
I think that you can't make a judgment on what was the right. It seems like the story is set up in such a way that ideally, yeah, he should have been like a flip or not something out there. He wasn't at that place. He not like saw that, so he sent them home. What I take from the story, the opposite. Like, he was in a place of happen where he had to be, and he knew where he had to be, so it wasn't with Rabbi Nachman, so that was the right place for him. Who says Rabbi Nachman preempted the right place for him?
So because it was, because his, so you're saying that Rabbi Aaron's emes lamita was to be in the Bresim, because he felt that hechruch.
That was his hechruch in that moment.
So, and his hechruch, so the emes lamita was not, that there was something bigger than that hechruch, that he met. Is it possible that he imagined that was just happening?
That's how the Buddha comes in. That was just set up.
Right.
How do we effort?
Right. That's what you have to daven. That's what's right. It could be either way. So that's what you have to daven. I don't know. You know, do I have negias here? One thing's for sure is that it wasn't like Rabbi Aaron was staying behind because he wanted to have an extra piece of gold. Right. So if the negias were negias in high madrigas and ruchnias, you can't even imagine. But the negias.
You're safe as long as you want it. It's right. You already have the going that's coming in.
Right. Well, that's what I felt. I think that's what I've not told you what Nelson felt.
Right.
You're already making these chesbinus. So we never would have made any of these chesbinus, and it wouldn't. So that's why it's a hard story. But the point to take out from it is that we need to always daven to Hashem that we shouldn't be fooling ourselves. That we should. Halach b'amitach. It should be,
you know, someone else's.
Right. Especially complicated here because Rabbi Aaron, these Jews are crying to him. We don't have a rav. A rav is not here. So that's also a cheshbon. What do you about? You might have your truth, but is your truth is stepping on some other people? So then, in the end, Rabbi Nachman did push him out. So as much as Rabbi Nachman felt the tsar of not being there. And I'm assuming that Rabbi Nachman felt that with him being there, he could be poil other things. With Rabbi Aaron being present, that he would have been able to be poil certain things that he couldn't be poil. It wasn't like he was going to miss him. We're not talking about stuff like that. We're talking about Rabbi Nachman needed Rabbi Aaron to be with him, to be poil certain things. And yet, Afal Pi Kan, he sent him away. So,
the player, you could be really, it's only Shaiach really that was wrong. Most of us say that he takes him. right? Otherwise, it's not.
Now we're not talking about shilas. We're talking about having your rav, your rebbe, the tzaddik present with you in the tzibur. We're not talking here about asking a shaila. There was a time in Yechavon they could ask a shaila. It's not about a shaila. That's not what they're talking about. It's not about shilas. You only need your rav on Pesach. That's not what this is about. This is about the vacus to the presence of their leader. The presence of their leader. It's not just when there's a shiloh. It's a relationship. It's a matter of relationship. Rosh Hashanah is just a kid. We see by the tzaddikim that the biggest time of the year, by the Talmidei Baal Shem, the biggest time of the year to be together with the rabbi, with the rebbe, was Yom Nirayim. It's not Pesach. It's Yom Nirayim. Pesach, he can go to the hotel. That's what I'm saying. Pesach, the rabbi can go to the hotel. He could be a scholar in residence. Get his wife and family a nice place, a palm tree, a pool, whatever. But the Ikar Torah Rosh Hashanah is to be with Rosh Hashanah is the tzibur of the rav and the. I'm not talking about just chassidim. The tzibur, the Ikar is on Rosh Hashanah, not Pesach. It's Rosh Hashanah to be together. The kihila, the tzibur is to be Rosh Hashanah. Maybe I'm mistaken, or maybe I'm naive. I still don't think that they have special like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur programs out there. Maybe they do. They do. If they do, they're probably just educational for people that need a place to stay. That's what I'm assuming. You know, let's say like that. I think it's like that. No. That means that there are people that don't have a place. But Stam, regular Jews don't go away Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to be on a vacation. There's no Rosh Hashanah vacation. There's no Musag of Rosh Hashanah vacation. I'm going to say something true of vacation. Like you have already Pesach, it's already Pesach vacation. There's no Rosh Hashanah vacation. I'm not macabre that. So there are Jews that go to other places because they don't, because they feel they don't have a shul that they could be in, or they don't have a rav, they don't have a shul. But people who have a rav and have a shul and have a rebbe or they don't go on a Rosh Hashanah vacation. Nobody does such a thing. So, but to be to the ikar time of the year to be together is at Sibur, is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Ikar time to be together.
Rebbe, so, do we know if Reb Nussan's Emes Lamito story was before this or after this?
Maybe, oh, I don't know.
Because maybe Reb Nussan had a different madrega of a relationship. They can go that way. Most people hear their Rebbe say something, you know, say, "You sure, Rebbe? Right?"
You don't ask Emes Lamito. Right. Listen, Reb Nussan was unique. But again, this story is left with a, like Chaim said, it could go this way, it can go that way. I don't know what to make of it, other than this one thing that the author here is trying to tell us, I believe, that we have to constantly daven that Hareini Hashem Dekecha Halik Bamitach, that I should live a life where Be'emes La'amita, I want to do the Hashem's will, and that Hashem will direct me to doing what he really wants of me, even though this might be the harder choice for me. Obviously, it's not so hard when you have right and wrong, good and bad. But when you have two levels of right, because here, either way, it was right to be with his seaboard, to be with his town, and to be with his rebbe, they're both right. So those are the hardest decisions to make. But the Ikkar Rebbe Nachman didn't tamper with the bechira of his chassidim. And it's like Chaim said that it seems that Rabbi Aaron didn't feel the hechbrach of being with Rabbi Nachman. And that's, I think it sounds like that's where Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Naftali were not annoyed, but they weren't impressed with. They felt that he should have been in that place of hechbrach like they were. But again, no offense, they didn't have a position of being a rav, impressed with. He did. Okay. Perek Chav Tes.
I think it's the hapless of the person. The hapless of the person is the Emes Lamito. Meaning you're ready to help you to ask that back and forth. They feel like, oh, but that's the same hapless. You know, when during COVID, people were asking Rebbe a lot about going there. So, Rebbe D'Angelo, if you're going to go anyways, no matter what I tell you, so then you're the person that should go. So if you're going to go anyways, once you can swim through all the stuff and then get away from it, your mukhra is your emesanita. You have to be able to listen to that.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. I think that makes sense. I think that's what Rabbi Nachman is trying to teach.
since he wasn't mukhra to stay with the Nachman, his assignment there was
to go back.
The Nachman was just helping him figure that out.
The Nachman was helping him to be mevara that nekuda. For you, this is your emes lamita. The fact that it's causing me tzar, that's Rabbi Nachman's. It's causing me tzar, but the emes lamita, where you are and who you are at this time in your life, what you need to do is to go back. I think, yeah, I agree. Sounds like that's the pshat. It's a hard story. Yeah, but this comes up a lot. Yeah, I was, not to compare myself to these people, just to talk about what you brought up the subject. A lot of times I'll have people ask me, about going in Aliyah. Right, so I'm supposed to say you shouldn't go to Israel. I tell people not to go to Israel, but I usually my mahalach with people is I say to them when they come to talk to me about this, this big conversation of we're thinking about it. I usually tell them when they ask me this is I say that the ones who really 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 are Israel in the shamas, they don't come to talk about it. They just get tickets. And if you're coming to talk to me about it, we're going to spend an hour crutching about this school and that kid and this neighborhood and this nonsense. I say that you're not mukhok. So then you're asking me then what I think. And I'll tell you that this could be a problem, but this kid's only 7 years old. He's going to go to school. We could talk about it. But I know that there are certain neshamas. I know there are certain people that would come to tell me the good news that we're moving. No. Then come to ask him, what do you think about going in Aliyah? You come to ask him, what do I know? I'm the Wizard of Oz or something? I don't know anything. You want to talk it over. Otherwise, you think that I have some sort of say, which I don't, but you think that I have some sort of say. So we're going to talk over this Indian like in learning. We're going to talk over this Indian learning. So then we're already talking about in learning. I'll talk to you in learning. But the ones that came to me, like I'm not going to mention names, but we have from the past, some of the Chevrolet went to Aliyah. They didn't come. They came to tell me the good news. And they might say something like, you think it's crazy? But I would usually say, it's crazy. It's kavalik. I wish I could be crazy like you. And I know that they're going to go there. Whether it's, there are people I know they're going to go, whether it's 6 months or it's a year, they're going to go. Because they're just Celtic. They're not talking in learning. They're talking about a lift and about where, but not about Yodanayim, it's not in that place. It's a Celtic Eden that they have to go home. They have no choice. They're in a place where they feel a hechrich to be an Eretz Yisrael. There are Jews that are like that, but they can't breathe outside of Eretz Yisrael. There are others that they can breathe, but they feel guilty or they feel it's nice. But they can breathe, right? So they can breathe. So then we're already talking and learning. Now we're talking and learning. And there's Svaros, there's all kinds of Svaros. There are people that you talk to them, it's not. And then many times it's for things that sometimes I've seen this over the years that people that they want to do certain things and they come to get an approval or consent, and I don't necessarily see it's the right thing. I don't personally think it's the right thing, but I see that they're in a place like this that it's not really they just came for me to like sign off on it, and I don't get into a whole shakra vatayu also. That's really, I believe in that also. But that's all the mercy of the emotionless. So I can get into all the shakra that tie you. But you get into the lumdus when it's a person who's not here or there, you get to talking lumdus. But not when a person's in that place of mukhrach, whether it's latoyev or chas v'shalom or something that's not good. It's very hard to go to that place when a person, the place of mukhrach, where he's mukhrach, he feels mukhrach. But very often you have the husband and the wife. It's an inyanim. There's a hechrech one way or the other way. There's no trialist in getting into a shakir attire with these things. Right? It's hard to know. After all the time, all of us always have to daven. But we should be able to know the truth ourselves, and we should be able to help other people who come to ask us to renate sin. It's very, very hard. Vidui, perchav tes. Now, we all are familiar with this word, and we all try to avoid it like as much as we can. No, it gets to the vidui season, even though we said vidui this morning by Shachris, I'm going to have vidui again by Mincha, but this is vidui in his bite of this. This is of course it's vidui, but it's very very different as we're going to learn. Lakuta Maran Taravav. Milkudimran Taravav, Kosev Rabbeinu. Sheikir had Shuvihi, She Yishma Bizyana, Yidon Vyishtak. We was able to learn the Torah many years ago together when we were doing with Rabbi Nachman. Taravav, we did it for Elul years ago. It's right, the Torah for Elul. I mean, for Aliyah, but especially for Elul. Here Rabbi Nachman says, Ikrat Shuvah. The Ikrat Shuvah is the person should hear somebody else being mevazeh him, because humiliating him, humiliating and disgracing him. Yidon v'yishtayt, and to take it and be silent. That's the Nekuda Pnimus of that Torah, Yidon v'yishtayt, to be silent. Here Rabbi Nachman is talking about Shuvah, about Elul, and Aleph, and Ratzav Hashayv, Yeshua and Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole Torah there. It's an unbelievable Torah. So, when Rabbi Nachman says that the Ikra Tshuva is that a person should suffer through humiliation, degradation, and be silent, Yidon v'yishtayt. So, how does one do that Tshuva? In other words, Tshuva is something that we can do. There's Hilchos Tshuva in the Rambam. And anytime you and I decided we want to do tshuva, we do tshuva. We open up the Rambam to review. We can look in Shari Tshuva from Rabbeinu Yonah. We get a tshuva from the Baal Tanya, whatever you like. And then you do tshuva. But here, Rabbi Nachman says something very strange. He says, in order to do tshuva, sheyishma b'zion yidam yishtak, but that's not up to you. So we're supposed to go out to the street. Anybody like to say anything nasty about me? Because I'm waiting to do tshuva. And Rabbi Nachman said that in order to do tshuva, I have to be humiliated. So I'm here. Whoever wants to humiliate me, go ahead. What does it mean? Yasa tshuva. Yasa tshuva means to do something to repel. To do something. So, ikka tshuvihi shekishi. Whereas Rabbi Nachman, like some have interpreted this to mean, no. He's not saying how to do tshuva. He's saying it's a simen, what? That you're in a place of tshuva. In other words, it's not a din in the ma'aseh tshuva. It's a simen that like we do have in Rambam Shai tshuva. It's a simen that you're in the place of tshuva. Or that the tshuva is working. How do you know that your tshuva is real? That you hear bizyanis and yidam v'yishtayk and that completes your tshuva. It's a simon of your tshuva. Like the Rambam says, like what's tshuva, having tshuva is that you're isoperic, nisish, whatever, you're in the same matzav that you were, and you're able to do the aveira, and you hold back, and you don't do the aveira. So again, that's not the maisi tshuva, it's a simon that your tshuva is real. The simon is that your tshuva is real, and that you're in that place that's called tshuva. So what does it mean here? Kshe yishe, kshe yishma, bizyone yidam v'yishta. So there's a very deep thing. And there's a lot that the tzaddikim spoke about this sentence, Rabbi Nachman. Ubiya bebiya elukutim. The Messiah in Breslov is to understand it the following way. Shebechelek anagei l'tshuva shel adam atzmai. What Rabbi Nachman is talking about here is not the bizyanis from outside of yourself. Because you never know when someone's going to insult you or hurt you or remind you of your mistakes or whatever. You don't know. That's not up to you. What is up to you is to be mevazi yourself. That's what is up to you. And to hear your own inner bizyanis. And yidam v'yishtok, meaning not to stop your tainus against God, against your parents, against the rest of the world. Something different. Sheyishma bizyana yidam v'yishtok means internally. Doesn't mean to the exclusive externally. Of course, that's part of it. That's something. Of course. But you're not in control of what people say about you. You could be, if you're some respected person, or if you're some person that people need, or some rich person that people are coming to for money, then no one's going to be mevazi, only behind closed doors. But they're not going to be mevazi to your face because they need a check or they need something. So what does a person do? So b'chilek ha'nagil ha'tshuva shel adam atzmo perush ha'dvarim hu she'ikra ha'tshuva k'sheyishma klemer k'shemizvada yovin ve'likya daherin es b'zyayin v'yispa'ish me'asha. It means to be able to go to the baridus and to say vidui, to confess HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your mistakes. And yovin ve'likya, and to hear. Not just time to say, I messed up this, I messed up that. The hair means to hear in the deepest way. Ad kedekach, that you feel humiliated in Hashem's presence. That's something else. Not about being embarrassed because it's not, that's also, but not just about being embarrassed because somebody says something, you know, and then mavaz you. It's feeling the pain of your own bizyonos and the shame and the embarrassment in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sheyishma klemek shemesvada, that when you say vidui, yobin ve'yikla deherin es bizyonai, the deher, that how could I have done this? Because Baruch Hu was so good to me. And to deher, to hear, v'yizbayish ma'ashan, to feel the busha from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ad shemach mes busha, ya'alim piv. That doesn't mean yidon v'yish, like to be silent. It means you're so over, you're by yourself. It's not about saying it to someone. You're so overwhelmed with this feeling of busha in Hashem's presence that you're speechless. Ya'alim piv means you're muted by it. Shekosev, like it says in Ezra, which you have in our slichas, Elokai boishti v'nechlamti laharim panah elacha. We say that in slichas. Elokai, my God, boishti v'nechlamti. I'm humiliated. I'm embarrassed. Laharim panah elacha, to look at you. Kavan esenu rabu l'mar l'roish v'ash b'senu god al l'shamayim, because we're guilty, right? Ad l'shamayim. Ukaloshna ha'vidu ishor abeinu nisim, that's printed in the Machzor, many of the Machzor, is printed by Kol Nidre. Before Kol Nidre, it's printed the vidu of Rabbeinu Nisim. You look at most of the Machzor, it's printed. And there it says, Ein li pe ledaber. I don't know what to say. I'm so humiliated and embarrassed. I'm so stunned by my own failures that I can't open my mouth. Ma noima, ma dedaber, ma nitzdak, ma nitzdaber. Nach besed rochedi, v'nashu, I don't know what to say. I can't speak. I can't lift my head up. Vidui ba'efen kezeh. Yochliot rak yeshamagishim shiyoshim noichap ne'ashem. This kind of vidui can only, this level of vidui can only be when you feel 1,000% that you're sitting in Hashem's presence. That you can't feel what he's describing. You can't feel that anila unless you mamish are in that place of being alone with Hashem as well. You can't feel such a thing. Because if you're in a crowd and Hashem is like just in shul, or Hashem is someplace in the olam, or Hashem is here, you know, whatever. So it's only when you wouldn't feel that ad kedei kach. It's when you're sitting mamish alone. Which is the tachlis of his bodies, which is how a person feels during his bodies. That there's nothing else in the world, only myself, my Kadosh Baruch Hu. In that matzah, there's nothing else and no one else that exists. Again, it's not my parents, not my spouse, not my kids, not my brother, not my friend, not my rabbi. It's alone, mamish. Because we always have ways of hiding with the heaven. Even when you're alone, you could hide. To hide. In Yisosa Ishmi Mistar, Vani Lai Renu, Du Masha. To hide. It's hiding. But when a person is be'emes in a place of Neuchach Bnei Hashem, when a person is in that place of Shivisa Hashem Lenegdi Samid Man, so then you could come to a madrig where you feel such resilience, such a bruise. It's like ain't the mayest punishment they bal chayvay. You know, a klal and halacha that even when it comes to a person that you owe money to, it's hard for you to. That's why, you know, one of the, you know, sometimes you have a person that just stops davening in the shul, wherever that shul is. There can be many reasons, and sometimes our person that he owes money to somebody else, he just doesn't come to daven there, because he owes money to somebody in the shul, and he can't look at the person, he can't be in the room with the person, because he feels the busha of being in the room. It's already a madrega. You have other people that don't feel any busha at all. It's a madrega. He can't be in the shul. I remember when I was in high school, it was a whole thing that I don't remember what it was, but there was somebody that from the shul that borrowed money from my father. And I don't know why is it that I heard them talking and borrowed money from my father. My father said to him something, which I think that's what he was saying. I didn't ask him afterwards, but it sounded because it wasn't English. But I think what he was saying is that, and that doesn't mean that you're not going to come to shul anymore. We're still going to dive them together. Don't worry. Because people will go away. People will go away. A lot of people that they have like special shuls that are designed for people who owe money to people. They could call it Beis HaMedrash Bali Chayvus, Kehil Kadisha Bali Chayvus. But the people not sure, they owe money to other people, not to each other. So they have a new minion, the minion of the Bali Chayvus minion. They owe money. And I'm joking a little bit, but it's a feeling of a madrega. It's a madrega, they feel a boost. It's not a good thing, but that's to run away, but there's a feeling of boost. And when you feel the presence of someone, then you'll have another story. We'll have a guy, somebody will tell me, it's an amazing thing to me, the guy owes me $100,000, doesn't say a word about it. I see him still every day. The guy says to me, I could fight this a good year. The guy doesn't say a word that he owes me $100,000. Doesn't talk about it. He would never happen. And like he's, you know, how you doing? Good to see you. So, it's funny. It's a funny thing. But when a person lives mamash with that feeling, the Baruch Shalom is here with you. It's a natural thing to feel the boost of the bizyayin is to feel that boost. That's the kind of thing he's talking about. And that's much more likely to be facilitated when it comes to the bite of this than, you know, being in shul. It's more likely. Not Davka, and there are people that can do that in shul too. They're great people. But this is much more likely. The fun of his father. And to feel Hashem's eyes looking into your eyes. When a person has this emuna of v'hine Hashem nitzar olam, that Hashem is standing over me, with me. But then there's another vidui. So a person says vidui. For instance, by Krishma Lamiti, say vidui. It's printed in the Nusach Ari, and many say vidui by Krishma Lamita. But if you're saying that just as a cheshbon hanefesh, which is also very kosher, because you're making a cheshbon hanefesh. I did this. I did this wrong. I did that wrong. And it's just part of like a cheshbon of things that I have to work on, which is very good. But it's a cheshbon. It's a cheshbon. It's not the same thing as a confession to the one who you did this to. It's a cheshbon. It's a cheshbon. So a person can sit at home and you could also have a list. I did this to Maish. I did this to Yank. I did this to Sar. I owe money to Beryl. I owe money to Shmero. But you have a cheshbon. And you say, oi, I. And you look at the paper and it has all these cheshbon. Oi, but I did the peace speech. and you go to sleep. That's it. But if those people gather together in the room, like imagine if you actually took out your page with your with all the things you did wrong to people and they showed up. You don't have that happen. They just somehow showed up. You look up and all those people that you, whose lives you messed up, they're all in the room. That's already something else. It's not just a cheshbon. It's vidui. It's not just a cheshbon. That's bizyonis. That's a busha. It's not just a cheshbon. Can we get a cheshbon? He's over here and I'm over here and he's over there. So it's a cheshbon. But vidui is something else. Vidui is to the one that you hurt. That's something else. You're making cheshbon nefesh. You're saying kriyishma. You're saying imatzmo. Don't you believe that God is? No, but he's not. Whatever. He's busy, and you're just sitting imatzmo. Imatzmo. The Baruch Hashem is busy with other things, and you're sitting. You're making a cheshbon imatzmo. Imatzmo. As kosher ma'od lagila matzmo shabusha. The nation of Magish is Hashem Leneged Ein. It's very hard to reach this Madrega of Busha. Elokai, Boishi, Venechlamti, Laharim Panei Elach. Laharim Panei Elach. Laharim Panei Elach is when you feel that Hashem is looking at you. Laharim Panei Elach. I can't look. I can't lift up my face. Ulo Nechat Pnei Hashem. It's already a different Madrega. They're not Nechat Pnei Hashem. That's not the ready. That's not the same vidui. So going back to that sentence from Taravav, she'ikra tshuva hu she'yishma bizyona yidom v'yishto. Simple pshat means something happens to you, and you're silent. Somebody's mevaze you, something, and you're silent. But what the Bilukudim is saying is that on a deeper level, it's not void of tshuva to be able to bring yourself to such a place where you feel the pain, the bizyonis, and the busha of being in Hashem's presence and admitting what you've done with Hashem staring at you in the face. And yidom v'yishtok means that it's so overwhelming that you're speechless. Such a busha, such a bizyon. That's already something else altogether. That's a different madrega. Avidui tzarech, I believe a little bit earlier, so I'll just finish that sentence. Avidui tzarech lichlal is kol ha-maisim, ha-machshav is ha-resinus. When we say vidui, remember, we're not reading from the machzor now. It's your own words, vidui. So you could say stuff from a siddur or whatever you love, but it's a bardus, and you're using your own words. So avidui tzarech lichlal is kol ha-maisim. Specify kol ha-maisim, machshav is thoughts that not good, but the things that you wanted are not good. And Niglavan is Storm Shalom. We'll talk about the Nistarm more next week. How are you supposed to know? If it's hidden, how are you supposed to know? And Niglavan is Storm. We have to ask Hashem that we should know. Look, it's bad enough that we know the stuff about ourselves that's bad. But we also need to know the stuff that we don't know about ourselves that's bad. That's it. There are things about ourselves that we don't admit to ourselves. We don't want to go there. So there are Niglavan is Storm. And vidui to be able to ask Hashem to help me to understand what is it that I've done that's wrong. Again, to be honest about it, what is it that I need to confess? What is it I need to admit? There are things that are very obvious that I've messed up, and that those obvious things, here they are. And then there are those things that are not so obvious. And it could be like everybody else knows them about me, but I don't see it. So help me to see also, even though it hurts, I want to know. And I want to talk to you about it. I want to change. To talk to Hashem about it. And to feel that embarrassment and that regret. Until you feel that busha from Hashem. Because of Rabbeinu B'Torah Kufayin Ches, Nak, Yitzarach Dabke Vidui Dvar. Yitzarach Lefari Desachayit. It's not just to think about this, you have to itemize and say specifically those things that need to be specified. To say specifically to say redo. Okay, Mez Hashem, we'll continue next week.